We're in the middle of the Easter season, so we're continuing to reflect on the great gift and power of the resurrection. Early in Easter, we reflect on Jesus risen from the tomb and all the wonder of that. And then as Easter continues, we start to see more and more how that risen life spreads. And we generally march through the Gospel of John and through the Acts of the Apostles. Now, if you pay close attention to it, we skipped over some things from yesterday to today. And tomorrow is a feast day, so we skip over some more. So you have to read the books yourself if you want to catch all the details. But yesterday we were in John chapter 10. Now we're up to John chapter 12. In fact, late in John chapter 12, we skipped over the raising of Lazarus. We skipped over the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the anointing and different things that we already covered in Lent. So more Lenten themes. And this passage is a little bit unique because it's after the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the long discourse he gives at the Last Supper. We'll be starting with that, I think, on Friday. And that goes on, that very long, several chapters. So the rest of Easter basically is that section. So this one kind of in the middle, in the first reading, when we get to it, it skips over some of the business about Peter and the death of Herod. And it picks up where Barnabas and Saul get sent off in the missionary journey. But let's just focus on the gospel here for a moment. Jesus, remember, this is already Holy Week, and this is his last chance, almost his last chance, to make a proclamation to whoever's listening about who he is and what his mission is. And he says it very clearly how he was sent by the Father and he's equal to the Father. It's quite striking. Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light. When I read this last night, I said, well, he's just talking about himself. me. Believe in one who sent me. I'm the light. What's if you don't understand who Jesus is, it sounds like a very self-centered thing to say. It's just pointing to himself all the time. And acknowledging that the Father is pointing to him. The Father sent me and I'm doing what the Father said, so believe in me. So this emphasis that Jesus puts on himself, if it weren't for the fact that he's the Son of God sent into the world to save us, it would be very arrogant. It would be repulsively arrogant for someone to stand up and proclaim himself like that. But actually, there's a fellow in the Philippines who does this. He proclaimed himself the appointed Son of God. He's not known in the United States, but he's quite well known in the Philippines. He's quite an arrogant figure. I think he's a cult figure if he's not possessed. But anyway, if anyone is this focused on himself, he's probably an arrogant or narcissistic person. But Jesus, no. No, and I remember in pondering this, the words of Pope Benedict when he had read this book. Maybe some of you have read. He read this book of a Jewish rabbi, and reflected on what the rabbi said. And then in Pope Benedict's own book, he enters into a kind of dialogue with this rabbi. And I have to paraphrase it because I don't remember exactly how it went, but it was something like this. The rabbi, you know, read the New Testament and read the whole story of Jesus, and then was in a discussion with his fellow rabbis, and they said, "What is this? What is this guy saying?" And he said, "Well, did he add anything new to the moral law? No. Did he add to the commandments? Not really. No. And you know, what is so different about it?" And the rabbi said, "The difference is himself. The difference is Jesus himself. But what he added to the picture was himself." And Pope Benedict says, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Jesus himself, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's not changing the law. He's fulfilling the law. You know these passages. And this is what comes out here. Whoever believes in me, believes in the one who sent me. Whoever sees me, sees the one who sent me. Whoever sees me, sees God. And he says it over and over. What I say as the Father told me. So everything that Jesus does is a revelation of the Father. And the Father's whole way of saving us is Jesus himself. So you can't separate them. Now, that can sound a little bit difficult, because how do we reflect on how two, actually in the Trinity there's three persons, or how can we get that they're so united that they're one, but at the same time they're three? Well, we see it played out in the life of the church. Not in those terms. They didn't talk about Trinitarian life the way we do now, but they experienced life in Christ. They experienced the life they received by the power of the Holy Spirit. They experienced being drawn to the Father, and then they shared that with the world. So that's what we get in the Acts of the Apostles, a kind of explosion of the gift of the risen life spread all over. The shift that takes place in this reading, let's skip the page here, there's on Wednesday, as we enter into chapter 13, Acts of the Apostles, and the shift here is how the message is starting to be spread. Now, we know that it was already spreading, and Jesus himself said it's going to spread from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, from Jerusalem to Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the earth. So it has to spread like that. And of course, it spread first to the Jews, because they're the ones. They're the ones in Jerusalem, and they're the chosen people, and all the apostles were Jews. So first people they went to were the Jews. We heard yesterday that after the persecution of Stephen, there was a scattering, or maybe it was 2 days ago, the scattering. They left Jerusalem because of persecution, and that led to a spreading of the gospel, almost in spite of themselves. And you can imagine the first Christians who left Jerusalem, when they got to a new place and people said, "What are you doing here?" And he would say, "Well, you know, I was just getting out of town because I was being persecuted." And there'd be a good reason. But something different happens in this reading, where the Holy Spirit tells the church of Antioch to set apart two men, Barnabas and Saul, for a new mission. So, and they pray over them and they send them off. So it's not because of persecution. It's actually a sign of the maturity of the Antioch church, that it's time for them to share this gift. So the Antioch church received the gift partly because of the persecution in Jerusalem, because of the willingness of some Christians to speak even to the Greeks. Remember, in Antioch, there was this mixture of Greeks and Jews who became believers, and they had to come up with a new name for them. Well, let's call them Christians. Let's call them something. Christians. They're the ones who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. But that community kept growing, partly because of Barnabas, partly because of Saul, partly because there was a welcoming of the word of God by the people at Antioch. And then the Holy Spirit decides, no, you can't just sit here and enjoy the gift. It's time for you to share it. I say that's part of a sign of mature Christian community. The natural tendency of every human organization is to kind of keep, you know, what is it, circle the wagons and keep everything for yourself. And sometimes when in times of persecution, there sometimes has to be some, you know, self-protection. But the gospel, the power of the gospel is of itself missionary. And the church is by very nature missionary, sent out. So that's what we see here. Set apart Barnabas and Saul. They pray over them. They're fasting and praying. They lay hands on them and send them off. As if to say, well, get out. They don't know where they're supposed to go. The very next line says, so they sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and to Cyprus. So they were sent by the church and they were sent by the Holy Spirit. It's a good understanding of how this missionary activity takes place. It's not self-initiated. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go where I want to go and do what I want to do. We are sent by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit sends through the action of the church to protect from that kind of self-anointed business, that idea of drawing attention to oneself. Who has the right to stand up and proclaim the gospel? Well, those who are sent. Who has the authority to witness to the gospel? Well, everyone who's baptized, that's everybody, every Christian. But the authority comes from God, from the power of the Holy Spirit who sends us, so that no one can claim some kind of special gift that or special quality that he has in himself. Now, at the same time, there's very natural human dynamics here. First of all, at the beginning of the reading, it says Barnabas and Saul, when they went to Jerusalem, they took John, who is called Mark. That's the Mark we're going to celebrate tomorrow, Feast of St. Mark. He's the cousin of Barnabas. And I take this as a very natural human dynamics. People talk to their relatives. You know, probably all of us have some relatives who are believers. Maybe a lot aren't, but people or neighbors or friends or classmates from long ago. And we're on the same journey, but we know each other from some natural means. You know, we knew each other from school. Or, you know, this is my cousin or this is my in-law or so. And there's a kind of natural connection. So there's Barnabas and Mark traveling together. They're cousins. They go off. One of the first places they go is Cyprus. Now, Barnabas was from Cyprus. He went to, now whether he, I don't know if he left as a child or however he, what connection he has with Cyprus, but he went probably to his own people, like, or a place that he knew. He didn't just go off into no place. Where do you start? Well, you start with what you know. You start with the people that you know. You start with your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your classmates, your people in the parish. You don't just start by, you know, launching into the unknown, because how can you do it? How would you start? And if someone comes along and says, what are you doing here? Well, it's very hard to say, well, I was sent by the Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes that has to be said, but usually it's, well, you know, I'm visiting my brother-in-law or something, or I'm visiting here, or I got a new job or some kind of natural thing. And I'm also a witness to the gospel. I live according to my Christian faith. And it comes out more naturally that way. And people aren't so intimidated. So I'm not saying that everything in the missionary action of the church is dependent on those natural connections. I'm just saying that it happens that way. So you be a normal person, you talk to people, and you're a witness. We are witnesses of the Christian faith wherever we are, wherever we go, and whoever we talk to. And most of the people we talk to are people that we see every day, or people that we know from work or from the neighborhood, and or our relatives. And that's how the Christian faith spreads. It says here, the word of God continued to spread and grow. How did it spread and grow? Not usually by direct divine intervention, like that's what happened to Saul, right? But even Saul, he got that gift by the sacrifice of Stephen. But it usually doesn't happen like that. It usually happens by personal interaction. Now, we know there's an explosion of great material available on the web. And a lot of people are really growing in their faith by finding great resources on the internet. That's a great thing. We have to thank God for it. But even that usually is not enough. Most people do not experience real progress in their conversion just by looking up things on the web. Usually it's by talking to someone who is on the journey. Or hearing someone in person. I'm talking about in person. That's usually how it works. Even now, even when people get messages through their phones and whatever, those things are all great, but usually it doesn't sink in until someone says, oh yeah, that's what I believe. That's how I live. Or I'm going to church. Or I belong to this movement. Or I'm reading this book. So I'm reading this book and I found it really great. Why did you read it? And then, okay, the person might read the book and get a lot from it, but it started with somebody saying, this was really powerful to me. This meant a lot to me. This helped me. It's personal witnessing. That's how the faith spreads. The word of God continued to spread and grow through the actions of people who believed it and shared it. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. The image that comes to mind is what we see in the Easter Vigil. If you go to the Easter Vigil, it starts with in the darkness, right? darkness, all of a sudden there's a new flame. It's Jesus Christ risen from the dead, a candle. And then people light their candles from that Easter candle, and then they spread the candlelight. And before long, everybody who's holding a candle is participating in the shining in the light, and the whole church is filled with light. But it's everybody's candle, and it's got spread around from person to person. That's kind of what, that's a symbol of what I think is being described here in the Acts of the Apostles. And it's also a symbol of what we're doing today. It's Wednesday. Whatever you have to do today, you're going to do it as a Christian. Wherever you go as a Christian missionary sent by the Holy Spirit and sent by the church. Amen.